many people were frustrated by their organizations being motivated to do sustainability because of brand or marketing perception reasons or compliance or investor requirements. So they felt like sustainability was more about looking good or ticking boxes than about creating real change. And people were frustrated by the lack of real commitment and investment in meaningful change.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Rosemary Petrus, Senior Journalist at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to traditional custodians of country and elders past, present and emerging. Recent research has revealed that sustainability professionals are fighting anxiety, loneliness and imposter syndrome. A UK study revealed 43% of green professionals are the only staff member responsible for sustainability within their organisation. The research was conducted by the University of St Andrews and the University of Strathclyde. Here to discuss is Heather Lynch, a coach working with sustainability professionals who was a lead researcher on the study. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
To start off with, to set the scene, can you tell us about the research that you did and what the biggest findings were?
Yeah, so last year, another coach and researcher and I came together and we wanted to find out what it was really like to be a sustainability professional. I used to be a sustainability consultant at PwC, then a head of sustainability at a B Corp. So I faced a number of the challenges that I'll share later. I was then retraining as a coach and wanted to understand what was the experience of others. So we ended up surveying 92 people and interviewed 28 people who work in an organization in a sustainability role. So we interviewed people from health, finance, food, retail, public sector, from companies that were small, like 100 people companies, to companies with over a million employees. And we were asking people, what were the highs and lows in their roles? What were the skills that they thought were important for sustainability professionals in these roles? And what support did they need? So we really wanted to understand the common challenges. And our main finding was that there needs to be more emphasis on the softer skills needed for people to be effective in their roles and also for their roles to be sustainable for themselves, because there's a lot of burnout. There's a lot of people who are finding the role is taking a personal toll. So how can we both develop the soft skills in order to be able to be more effective, have a greater impact, and live happier, healthier lives?
So you talked a bit about burnout there. Can you explain further about these challenges that sustainability professionals are facing?
Yeah, so we found five main challenges from the research, which were common in the people we interviewed. So the first challenge was feeling like an imposter. So a lot of the sustainability professionals felt they didn't know enough because sustainability covers such a broad range of topics. And people often felt overwhelmed by the expectation to be an expert on everything, which was often made more intense by how fast regulations, requirements, expectations, and knowledge is evolving, and the fact that this is still really such a new industry. And this led to feelings of inadequacy, people feeling like they weren't enough, not feeling confident in their roles. And this was common for people who had moved kind of from different roles that weren't related to sustainability, but was also common for people who had more years of experience. The next challenge was around the climate emotions that come with the role. So things like eco-anxiety, and people experience strong emotions like grief, fear, frustration, powerlessness, anger about the state of the world, and having to be exposed to that information so much and to be working in it all the time really exacerbated these feelings. People often felt overwhelmed by the responsibility of addressing these vast challenges while seeing little progress or getting pushback or getting their budget cut from the organizations. And some people didn't feel safe to share these feelings or talk about it in their work. So they talked about having to mask their true feelings and experiences. And people, like you said, often are working alone. So they didn't necessarily have the people around them who understood the context and the emotionally charged and existential aspects of the role. And the next one related to that, the next challenge, was around loneliness. So some people were feeling isolated, you know, even like we said, lots of people were working alone. Even those in larger teams felt kind of disconnected or separate, or they felt other from the rest of the organization. And people were constantly having to balance this need to communicate the urgency of climate action, whilst at the same time taking the role of motivating, raising awareness, building good relationships. So they had to continually adapt their communication style to meet people where they were at. And they didn't necessarily feel like they could speak openly or truthfully, or have someone trusted that they could talk to that they felt really understood. The next challenge was internal greenwashing. And by this, we didn't mean greenwashing in terms of marketing messages or environmental claims. This was about internally, companies talking the talk, but not walking the walk. So many people were frustrated by their organizations being motivated to do sustainability because of brand or marketing perception reasons or compliance or investor requirements. So they felt like sustainability was more about looking good or ticking boxes than about creating real change. And people were frustrated by the lack of real commitment and investment in meaningful change. And others experienced this kind of tension between their personal values and the organization's values and how ambitious the organization was around sustainability, or what were the intentions and motivations driving the sustainability actions they were taking. And this can kind of lead to a cognitive dissonance, which can lead to stress and anxiety. And some people that we spoke to were leaving roles because of it. And the last challenge was a lack of career progression or fair pay. So many felt undervalued, especially in the nonprofit sector, where low pay and lack of promotion were common. There were also barriers to entry for people from less privileged backgrounds to be able to get into these roles, which created a lack of diversity in the field. And there was generally also a lack of funding for sustainability. So people couldn't expand their teams, progress in their careers, or finance their projects. And particularly recently, a lot of sustainability professionals having their budgets cut, but the importance and requirements of their roles also increasing. So those were the challenges. And what really struck me was they're not the difficult things about the job. You know, the job, there's a big scope in terms of what is involved. There's knowing what to prioritize, being able to deal with stress and being very busy, having difficult conversations. Everyone we spoke to was super capable, doing incredible things in their organizations and really resilient. And I guess what these challenges show is that there is a layer above, there is a kind of mental and emotional load that is quite unique given the context of what people are doing, working alone, working on climate change, and having to deal with the internal tensions that come with it. And it's often the fact that it's rarely talked about. There isn't really space to have these kind of conversations. You know, these feelings of not being enough, not doing enough, feeling lonely, feeling like you're the only one that cares, feeling like you're carrying the weight of the world, feeling undervalued or not feeling recognized, or not feeling like you belong and feeling that pressure to be the one that has to convince or persuade, and not feeling like you can speak truthfully. And all these things really take a personal toll on people and affects their ability to be effective in the role. And there was a similar piece of research done by the climate change coaches. And they said that 62% of sustainability professionals experience burnout in the last year. So if we really want to create a sustainable future, we need to ensure that those leading the change can do it in a sustainable way for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Those are some really staggering figures there. And we want to talk about, I want to ask you about the kind of how to overcome these challenges and what skills professionals should work on. But I also really want to know if it is a cultural problem of the industry at large.
Yeah, when we were doing the research, I was very keen to make sure that this is a, like, sustainability professionals know this stuff. It's nice for them to hear it and know that they're not alone and they're not the only ones that are going through this. But really, it's the system around them and the people, the organizations, HR, their leaders, managers, that if they are more aware of this experience, can then support sustainability professionals more. So I'll share a bit about the skills that sustainability professionals can develop, but there is also a requirement for the system around them and the people around who are supporting sustainability professionals to also help people. Because, yeah, people are doing an amazing job and it's not all on them to do this. So firstly, the skills that are helpful for sustainability professionals in these roles. So firstly, coaching skills. You know, there is so much influencing, persuading, being able to communicate well that is important in these roles. And the skills of coaching can really help with that. So, you know, active listening to understand, having empathy, asking powerful, open questions, building rapport and trust with people, being non-judgmental, helping people to develop that level of awareness of the implications of their decisions, and also being able to navigate conflict. Learning also how to set boundaries, being able to prioritize, and building up more confidence in yourself. You know, the more this imposter syndrome, feeling not good enough, if you can find confidence within yourself, others then have more confidence in you as well. And I think tied to that is it's also being okay with just saying that we don't know. Like, we don't really know how this is going to go. It's okay to not have the answers and to not try and take on all the work, not try and be the expert, but really focus on that kind of more coaching mindset of like, okay, how do I empower others? How do I help others really buy into this and want to work together and deliver it as well? The another skill is developing emotional intelligence. So learning to notice the emotions that are coming up that may be present in the role. So like I mentioned before, grief or sadness or anger or powerlessness or anxiety can all come up when we're kind of trying to work in this space and we're aware of what's happening in the world. So an example of this, and I talk a lot about it in my Substack, which is called On Becoming the Change, is to name the emotion that you're feeling, to describe where you feel it in the body and to welcome it with breath. So saying something like, I'm noticing there is anxiety here. I'm noticing that I'm feeling a lump in my throat and it feels black and it's heavy and maybe it's tar-like, I don't know, whatever it feels like. And then really just breathing into that and welcoming that as emotion. Because when we resist these emotions, when we push them down, they become a lot more powerful. So really facing into them can really help with that. In a similar way, practicing mindfulness, being able to be present, learning to accept what is, and letting go of the need for control or things to be a certain way or to try and achieve a certain outcome, and to know that you're just doing your best and the fate of the world isn't in your hands. And the more we focus on the inner work on yourself, developing self-awareness, trust, self-compassion, the more you'll be able to step into a more influential role, to have the courage, you know, to speak up, to speak more authentically, and to have a greater impact. And there's something in the kind of around that in the organizational level of creating a culture of psychological safety, like you were asking before. What's needed is for people to feel more safe talking about this stuff and really talking about how they're feeling. Like, I'd love to see more, and I'm seeing it, is to more people speak about how this is impacting them, how this is feeling. You know, we've known so much about the facts and the information and what we need to do, yet the action isn't kind of corresponding to the level of urgency. And I think there is something in there if we're not tapping into our humanity and how we feel and what we think about the future and the implications for the future generations. And that requires people to feel safe to do that. And that requires people to learn how to hold people in their emotions and be able to have open conversations. And finally, is around being with uncertainty. Like, I think a real key skill, I did a systems thinking course, and everything around systems thinking helps with this, is like, how do you be with uncertainty and be with complexity? Being able to lean more into questions rather than having answers, being unattached to outcomes, overcoming this fear of failure, and knowing that we're just going to have to try and figure this out. Like, we are just working this out as we go. No one in history has had to do what we're doing. So being very adaptable to that and being resilient in terms of knowing that things are going to change. And I'd also add just around finding connection. This isn't so much a skill, but just something that can help people, is to find like-minded people or find people or spaces where you can talk about these things, where you can get supported, where you can get help to develop these skills. So whether that's going to climate cafes, finding a therapist or a coach, going on courses, or just finding someone who's going through a similar experience, being part of a networking group can really help and can really help supporting with these skills.
And on that note of the support that's needed, where can people find support to overcome these challenges?
Yeah, I guess there is support. You could have support internally, whether that's from leadership or managers. When we did a survey about what more support would people like, 34% wanted to be part of a supportive group of other sustainability professionals. So that could be networking groups. You could just set something up yourself. It could be that you find climate cafes. We had 26% of people wanted to find safe spaces to talk about the feelings that come with the climate crisis. There's also things like group coaching programs that exist. So I run one with my co-researcher where we support people on developing these skills. And there's other ones out there. I mentioned before the climate change coaches. They do a green transitions program for sustainability professionals, which is a lot about teaching coaching skills for people in these roles. And then also you can have one-to-one therapy or coaching. More organizations now are supporting people to do that, to have in their personal development budget or their L&D budget, so that you can have one-to-one support to support with these challenges.
What other kind of trends do you foresee in the industry?
Yeah, well, I hope to see more of the focus on the softer skills and on sustainability professionals doing more personal development, more training. There is more of a recognition of the unique challenges that are faced in these roles. And there is more support coming in from the learning and development from managers, from leaders in organizations that can support with this. And then I also hope to see more openness in conversations around how people are feeling. You know, I think a lot of the blockers to action are more psychological. So being able to really step more into that and be more open and vulnerable, and more questions. We just have to keep asking ourselves questions to really explore what are we doing? What are we seeing? What are we noticing? And having more safe spaces and open spaces where people can connect and come together. And because there is so much power when we come together and when we talk about this stuff and when we share how we're really feeling, and it can re-energize people to go back into their roles where maybe, you know, if they're the only one, you kind of need that space to be able to come away, work with someone, get energy from something else to then go back and do the work that you want to do and have the impact that you want.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Heather. Where can listeners find out more about your work?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, so Heather Lynch, and on Substack as well. My Substack is called On Becoming the Change.
And a reminder that if this podcast has raised any concerns for you, support is available. You can contact Lifeline on 13 11 14. Until next time then, I'm Rosemary Petrus, and thank you for listening to The Green Away.
The Green Away podcast is a product of FS Sustainability, a show about people, the planet, and investing in our collective future. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The Green Away podcast gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by discussing numerous financial sustainable options and our featured guests. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of The Greener Way are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.